Case is taken under advisement, and the court will proceed to the sixth case, Quirish v. Gonzalez. Mr. Burton.
May it please the court, my name is Justin Burton, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Qureshi in a petition for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. Before I get started today, I'd just like to indicate to this court that this morning, not more than 1 hour ago, I was handed a decision denying the visa petition for Mr. Qureshi on behalf of his wife. This certainly would take the legs out of some of my arguments, but not the arguments in its entirety. Apparently, this decision was made almost a year ago, even prior to the petition for review was filed. I never received it. My client had never received it. In fact, his wife had called me just recently asking if a decision has been made on the visa petition. We were just handed to it. I don't think the Office of Immigration Litigation has also received it prior to today or even yesterday either. Nevertheless, it doesn't do away with my arguments regarding whether the proceedings actually commenced in this case. Congress specifically indicated when jurisdiction vests before an immigration court, and they did this to provide procedural safeguards for an overreaching government which may wish to deport people over providing an opportunity to seek adjustment of status to that of a lawful permanent resident. We must remind this court that the basis of the Immigration Act isn't to deport people, but rather to bring families together, to provide for family unity. And such were Congress provided specific elements or requirements to institute these proceedings against the aliens. In particular, ACFR Section 314 denotes that a notice to appear should be filed with the court accompanied with an adequate certificate of service. An adequate certificate of service is provided in that section as noting that it should be in part pursuant to Section 3.32, which indicates, and I'll read directly from it, such service shall be in person or by first-class mail to the most recent address contained in the record of proceedings. A certificate showing service on the opposing party or parties on a date certain shall accompany any filing with the immigration judge. There is an exception to this, and only if it's filed in open court and on the record, and it must be filed on the record. And Congress did this in part to level the playing field that we're dealing with a government who's trying to deport an alien who oftentimes doesn't understand the complexities of the immigration laws or the laws of this country, and certainly oftentimes doesn't even have a full grasp of the English language. We believe that commencement of these proceedings never existed. Unfortunately, we brought it to the attention of the immigration judge after he rendered a decision on the motion to continue. However, we tried to prior to, but we were unable to bring it to his attention. He just entered his decision on our motion prior to allowing our offices or myself to speak before him. Nevertheless, we still believe that we can proceed on our arguments on motions for continuances and whether Mrs. Qureshi and Mr. Qureshi could get that continuance to allow adjudication of the underlying visa petition. We don't believe that the denial that we just received would do away with the arguments in the record as they exist, and we certainly stand in those arguments as well. I have nothing forward, and I'll just like to leave time for rebuttal, unless there are any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Thank you,
Ms. Ginsburg.
May it please the court, I'm Douglas Ginsburg for the Department of Justice, Office of Immigration Litigation. There's two issues before the court. One is this continuance issue, whether the immigration judge abused his discretion in denying the continuance, and whether the court has jurisdiction to consider that that issue, and also this issue of the notice and the certificate of service with respect to the commencement of the proceedings. As counsel indicated, we were handed today a copy of the denial on the visa petition, which certainly would seem to moot out at least part of the appeal, and that I think the relief that's being requested is that the case be remanded back to the immigration judge to await the adjudication of that visa petition. So if it's already been adjudicated, I'm not sure what's left of that claim. Nevertheless, I would like to talk, if it pleases the court, about the legal issues regarding the continuance denial, where I believe satisfied to rest on our briefs on the issue regarding the notice and the commencement of proceedings. This court has obviously expressed concern over the last 2 years regarding the denial of continuances with respect to the context when a visa petition is pending. We have the Subban decision, and we have the more recent Benselmain decision. So I'd like to address what do we distill from those cases, and how do we apply it to this case? And I think the rule of law which emerges is that these are still discretionary decisions. There's nothing in the Adjustment of Status Statute, Section 245 of the INA, which says that upon filing of an alien relative petition, an I-130, that removal proceedings are automatically stayed. So there is no automatic stay. There's nothing in the regulations which say there is no automatic stay. Instead, the statute says the immigration judge have the authority to conduct removal proceedings, and the regulations say immigration judges may grant continuances for good cause shown. So there's still substantial discretion in the immigration judges, as there would be in any court trying to control its docket, to grant or deny continuances. The rule of law, I think, which comes out of Subban, however, is that when there is a visa petition pending, the reason given by the immigration judge for the denial of the continuance has to be consistent with the Adjustment of Status statute. In Subban, it was found that the immigration judge really hadn't given any reason for his decision other than just saying that the visa petition is pending. The court found that was not consistent with the Adjustment of Status statute. In Benselmain, there was some confusion about whether the Adjustment of Status application had even been filed, and the court expressed substantial concern about that and found that, therefore, the reason given was not in compliance with or consistent with the Adjustment of Status statute. Subban, however, did give a list of various types of explanations for denial of a continuance which were consistent with the statute, and the examples it gave is if the alien has dragged his feet, if the alien would not be granted the visa, that is, the petition probably would not be adjudicated in his favor, or he should have filed his application for adjustment of status before his visa expired to begin with. In this case, he had 8 years to regularize his status before he was even put into proceedings, let alone got married and then filed his alien relative petition. He was a danger to the national security. He was engaged in some misbehavior or criminal activity, or even that an illegal alien should not be allowed to delay his removal beyond a year. If those types of reasons are given, then the rationale is consistent with the Adjustment of Status statute. If it's consistent with the Adjustment statute, the actual reasons given, therefore, at that point, should not be subject to review. I think it's at that point that Section 1252A2B2 comes into effect and limits or precludes the court's jurisdiction. So I think the first question here is, was the reason given consistent with the Adjustment of Status statute? I think clearly it was. The immigration judge expressed concern that the alien had not established by clear and convincing evidence that the marriage was bona fide. Well, that reason is clearly consistent with the Adjustment Status statute. Section 245E3 on its face says that an applicant for adjustment of status who was married while in proceedings has to establish by clear and convincing evidence the bona fides of his marriage. That really is game, set, match. In this case, the rationale was consistent with the statute. But the immigration judge gave other reasons as well. He said 26 months is just too long. He'd been in this country for over 8 years beyond the expiration of his visa. He married just before his second hearing before the immigration judge. He was seeking a third continuance. It's just too much time. Well, on the Subban, that reason is consistent with the statute. He also cited. Then he went on to give the reasons why he felt The clear and convincing evidence standard was not established, and he noted that the marriage was entered into just before the hearing, that the husband and putative wife did not even speak a common language, that she was carrying another man's child at the time they met, things which are not necessarily conclusive of the issue, but certainly they provide some evidence in support of the immigration judge's decision. So I think it's fairly clear that there was no abuse of discretion by the immigration judge. Can the court consider that aspect of the case? Well, in Subban and in Benzelman, the court did not make a definitive conclusion that 1252A2B2 barred denial of continuance motions, but it went pretty far to say it is apparent that these type of decisions are covered, that Section 240 of the Immigration Act gives the immigration judges the ability and the authorization to conduct proceedings, and implicit within that is the authority to grant continuances to control the docket. That makes it a specified authority within the sections covered under 1252A2B2. It's discretionary, therefore there'd be no jurisdiction. If there's no further questions, the government would rest.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ginsburg. Mr. Burton?
I do believe opposing counsel jumps over an argument where he gets to whether the immigration judge properly used the clear and convincing standard. If the marriage was entered into prior to proceedings, then you used a much lesser standard, the standard of that being Garcia. In a matter of Garcia, the board indicated that unless there is a showing that there's clear ineligibility to this person adjusting their status, then the motion would be granted. We're not even sure yet whether proceedings have commenced and when it did properly commence, in order to apply which standard. What the immigration judge did in this case was he went through the facts and applied them against that clear and convincing standard. He didn't use it as discretion in denying the motion of continuance. Rather, he applied it to the clear and convincing standard and said, you didn't meet that clear and convincing standard. I'm sorry, we're not going to grant this motion to continue. He didn't allow the wife, nor the mother-in-law, nor the petitioner to testify at all. They were all present in court. It was on a master calendar hearing, which means there's a number of other aliens waiting to appear before the court. And unfortunately, they weren't given an opportunity to testify, which a marriage which is fairly young in length or short in length would need that testimony to be able to bolster not only their own credibility, but to explain what happened, how they met, and how she did become pregnant and fell in love with another man. Certainly, this errs and violates their due process in not allowing to properly present evidence in their case.
Is that the January 20th hearing where you suggest, Ms. Burton, that the wife and mother-in-law were there?
That was the final hearing, and I'm not sure if it was the January 20th or I think it was October. It was the
October
final.
October was the marriage. October of 03.
Yeah. Right, right. There was
January of just a year ago. That's when he denied the continuance for the
right,
13th.
Right. It would be that January hearing.
Is there anything to indicate that the presence of the wife and mother, or that there was a request of the immigration judge to present additional evidence?
The wife and the mother. The wife was sitting next to him at the. When you walk into the immigration court, there's a table for the alien to sit at. There's a table for the government to sit at. The wife was sitting next to the alien, and the mother was sitting in the one of the pews. It's a very small courtroom. There's nothing on the record stated because he had already rendered his decision. He didn't give an opportunity for either counsels, to argue the motion. Rather, the judge just went right into the decision. And right after the decision, we spoke about the problems with the service of the notice to appear and otherwise. But certainly they were there to speak about it.
There was no opportunity to approach the judge on the issue of offering this additional evidence?
None was provided at that time. He just immediately went
anybody
right
anybody ask for it? Did anybody ask? My wife is here. My mother-in-law is here. Like to be heard?
They did provide affidavits, but it was no verbal request.
When was the affidavit filed?
It was filed along with the motion for the continuance. And it's
the affidavit would track their testimony?
Similar, but not exactly. I mean, you can't judge one's credibility by just reading an affidavit.
No,
I certainly think it lends a lot more evidence to the court in which way to weigh what factors and whether this is a viable marriage by listening to the mother-in-law and listening to the wife. Of course, we'd hope to present that evidence, but the judge already rendered his decision. Also, when a judge...
So let me understand. The case is called, and the judge proceeds then to just read something? Is that what happens?
That's correct, Your Honor. In this particular case, the case was called. We sat at the table, and nothing is allowed to be spoken until he actually presses the recording buttons on the recording device. And then then a judge would then go into... in this case, he went into the decision.
Well, how was he to know that there were people there to just by the pleadings that were submitted?
That's right. And with, of course, the alien and his wife sitting right next to him at the same table that where I was also sitting as well. We're certainly hoping to have their testimony entered into the record. I mean, they were there, and they certainly could have been questioned as well.
But are you suggesting you never had an opportunity to say to the judge, I have here with me the mother I appreciate that might be a guess by the judge that the person sitting with the petitioner related, but are you saying you're precluded from representing to the judge you have somebody to speak to the issue?
Generally not. I'm not generally precluded from doing so. But in this particular case, when it's prescribed that we weren't to talk before the hearing began, and when he went directly onto the record, we weren't given an opportunity to speak.
Well, I think you say you're not allowed to talk. Is there a sign that says silence? Tell me the dynamics as you walk in, the atmospherics, if you will, as you walk into that court.
Well, certain courtrooms are different than other courtrooms. Some courtrooms, well, there's considerable
amount.
Let's
talk about this one.
In this particular courtroom, you walk in. Generally, nothing is spoken, not between counsel and opposing counsel. Sometimes whispers back and forth and maybe a paper between opposing counsel and the alien's counsel. But nothing is spoken between the...
What would preclude you standing up and saying, Your Honor, I would like to present the wife and the mother-in-law?
Oftentimes...
I want to know what precluded you this day from doing that.
Oftentimes the judge would tell me not to speak.
Did the judge tell you in this instance to shut up?
I don't recall. I don't recall. Sometimes it's a gesture of a finger. Sometimes it's a nod of the head, or he doesn't even... Or a judge won't even look up. So I can't tell you in this particular case... but yes, it has been done, and it is known when to speak and when not to speak in this particular court. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
It doesn't have anything to do with the case because we have to decide this on the basis of the record as it existed at the time before the judgment. How'd the marriage work out?
They're still living together. They're still very close. I received phone calls from both the husband and the wife on a number of occasions over the last year and a half, asking what's going on, and they're still very close families. The mother-in-law still keeps in contact. His Pakistani family is still here, and she actually sees them quite a bit. So, and she's still attending University of Illinois as well. So it's still a viable marriage. It's still ongoing, and the couple is still very close.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ginsburg. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.